Basketball will never be the same. Emphasis on never. That's what one of my two podcast guests had to say about Kobe Bryant. Tammy, why do you say that?
Kobe was basketball to me. He was the reason why I loved it. He was the reason why I became, if I can self-proclaim myself as great-headed.
Yes, you may.
Okay, all right, thank you.
If you've been on the Harlem Globetrotters as a woman, you can say great at it.
Why, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, but he was the person that taught me it was okay to dream, to reach, and to do so without thinking you're crazy. I just remember watching an interview of him as a little girl, and he was saying he believed he could do anything, and no matter how crazy it sounded, and it kind of resembled who I was. I remember, you know, people saying, Tammy, and I was in high school at the time, Tammy, if you play in the NBA, do you really think you could play? Do you really think you could score? And I'm like, 5'5"? I'm like, yeah, yeah. And I really believed it. And I felt it was okay to believe it because of Kobe. He made me think, like, nothing is impossible.
Well, this podcast is called Voices of the People, Kobe Remembered. I have two amazing guests. Coach T, who's just showing off this ESPN magazine, a celebratory magazine of Kobe Bryant. You're in it? I bought that at the grocery store.
Oh, yes, ma'am. So it's funny. We did a camp. We did a camp back last year with an amazing of my teammates. Some teammates I play in the Drew League. She tagged me on Instagram and goes, T, you're in the magazine. And I looked, and I always seen the magazine when I was in CVS. I'm like,
this one here?
Yes, ma'am.
Because it just came out after, obviously, the helicopter crash, and it's all about Kobe Bryant. If you look at the cover, it's ESPN. Kobe's on the court laying down with the basketball as kind of a pillow.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah. And so she tags me and goes, you're in here. And so I'm like, what? So as soon as I go to CVS and I go get it, and I turn to page 22. It would have been amazing if it would have been on 24. But it's on page 22. And there's a picture of the camp we attended, and it's me, of course, always smiling in a defense drill.
Nice. Oh,
and it's
my
just
gosh.
This, like, people tell me, like, T, that's legendary, and they really say it's legendary because me, you know, not to brag on myself, but I'm a defensive player, man. Like, I'm
I've seen her play. She is.
I'm all right. But I'm a defensive player, and it's like the picture they have in here is with Kobe and me doing something I love, too, you know. Reason, you know, Kobe's behind it, why I started playing, you know, knew him when he was number eight and everything, and it just, you know, stands out to me. It means a lot that I'm actually in here. It's a blessing that, you know, at that time, at that moment, I was there with other ladies.
So pick that up at the grocery store if it's not too late. I'm sure you can order it online. But let me properly introduce you. So, Coach T, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hello there. I am Coach T, known as T Laudermill. Man, where do I even start? You know, just grew up.
You're from IE,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Inland Empire.
I'm from the Inland Empire. Went to, you know, Canyon Springs High School, played ball all 4 years. I was blessed to be, you know, a little freshman on varsity. I knew that wasn't just a walk in the park. You know, I had to work. I had to, you know, be different. I had to know that on off days when I didn't have practice at school, I had to go above and beyond, you know. So
and then just, you played in Europe.
Yeah. Oh, yes, ma'am.
How nice is that? The job takes you to Europe.
Man, just blessings on top of blessings. You know, went from high school, got a scholarship, full ride to Nebraska. So I was in the Midwest.
That's changed,
Cornhusker,
right?
Alumni. Woo-woo. Going Cornhuskers. But yeah, after that, after college, went to play overseas, Romania, Finland, a little bit in China.
Wow, what an experience.
Yeah, it was really an experience. And it's just being in China, I really loved because
I went to China this year for the first time.
Amazing.
That was awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, it was. But, you know, and even in China, Kobe was
huge.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Now, do you think he's big in America over there?
Yeah, huge. Huge.
All right.
Yeah.
Huge.
Tammy, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Tammy Bronner, a.k.a. T-Time, the 10th female to play for the Harlem Globetrotters.
Wait, stop right there. Say that again, please. We gotta blast that out.
I'm the 10th female to play for the Harlem Globetrotters.
Man, now I do a segment every year with the Harlem Globetrotters for our Wednesday's Child Adoption segment. We have one of the kids in foster care come out and meet some of the players. I don't remember you doing a segment with us. How did that not happen?
I don't know. I know I've done a lot of press out here in L.A. Yeah. I don't know how I skipped you.
Well, okay. So talk about, you're from Oakland?
I'm from Oakland, born okay. and raised. Mm-hmm. I played varsity basketball all 4 years. Went to Cal State Northridge. I got my bachelor's there in criminal justice. I also
wow,
thank you. I also went to Dominican University of California, private school up north, where I received my master's degree in global business management.
Wait, we actually should shout that out twice, right? That's worth a double shout out to.
Yes, wow. I have a master's degree in global business management.
Well, excuse me. Okay.
Yes, and I also act now. Mm-hmm. And I also produce my own television content.
Well, when in L.A., right? You might as well, do the Hollywood thing, right?
Hey, and Kobe did it all, so why not? Yeah. Oscar, right?
Exactly. Okay, so I wish that on a podcast people could see the visual because you two are Lakered out. And okay. I love how all the guests have come in their different Laker gear. So, Tammy, how did you pick? And they call you Tea Time?
Tea Time, yes.
Hello, Tea Time. How did you pick your outfit?
Well, this shirt right here is actually a special shirt delivered to me. They gave this shirt out at the Warriors game because I'm from Oakland. So I had someone handpick this shirt for me and bring it down to L.A. It has the number 8, 24, and 2, which represents both of Kobe's numbers and his daughter Gianna's number.
Gianna. Well, that's a special shirt, isn't it?
It is.
You sure you didn't want to frame that one?
I know. Right, I might after today.
Don't even wash it. Just throw it in there.
Okay. And Coach T?
You know, I just had to rep all my Lakers. I've been a Laker fan for as much as I can remember. You know, started off, probably my first word was Laker.
Oh,
not mama,
gosh.
It was Laker.
You've got the nice Laker windbreaker coat,
yes.
But the nails.
Oh yeah, I got to be a baller and a little cute at the same time on the court, man.
Laker-colored
yes.
long nails.
The toes, one put.
I'm going to trust you on that one. You might not have to show me that one. But it's funny because I did a profile on Shaquille O'Neal when many years ago when he was playing, and he had his toenails polished.
Ooh.
Yeah. You know Shaq's crazy.
That's surprising.
He's crazy.
Right.
Like right.
Yeah, you got to be different. You got to be different, man.
Okay, so coming up the elevator, you guys gave each other a hug. You know each other well?
Yes. There's a league out here in L.A. called Basketball Beauties League where she's played in a little bit more of mine. My schedule is hectic. I'm a mom, too, so I'm always running around. But we played in that league together.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's awesome. It's crazy what basketball world can bring you. Like, it's just so many. It's small. It's mom, like, out of all the people in the world, like, I'd never believe I'd run into Miss Tea Time.
Did you guys play in college about the same time?
No, she's a little older than me.
Yeah.
Not by much.
No, I don't know.
Okay, so let's talk about Kobe Bryant. So I wanted to do this series of this podcast on people's stories, their backstories, because I've been looking at their Instagram postings, and and I looked at yours, Tammy. You posted... It was the day of the helicopter crash?
Yes.
What were you thinking? Where were you when you heard the news?
I was in my kitchen, and my brother was in town, and he told me he thought it was fake news at first. And I said, yeah, it got to be fake news. And then I opened up my phone to check, and literally I froze. Like, I just felt like my heart almost stopped. I couldn't believe it. It was surreal. I was in the middle of fixing breakfast, actually, and I just had to take a seat. Like, I felt like he was... a family member that I knew and seen every day, and my heart stopped. It's still kind of like, even talking about it now, it still kind of wants to bring tears to my eyes. And I had not watched, when that happened, I could not watch basketball. I did not watch basketball again until this All-Star weekend.
Well, let's back up for a second. So you mean you normally would watch a lot of games?
Oh, all the time. Yeah. I live for this time of the year. College basketball, NBA basketball. Yeah. Ball is life.
Yeah. And so why didn't you want to watch basketball?
You just think about Kobe. And you were constantly reminded of the game, what he meant to the game. You've seen how other people were so heartbroken, and you just, it was too heavy.
Mm. See, in news, we have to watch a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of the way I process things anyway now, that we just jump in. If it's like an earthquake or something, you come into work. So we're part of it. Yeah. I've had people say, you know, like my husband's like, I can't watch anymore. It's too painful. Mm-hmm. But for my business, you have to.
You have to.
Coach
yep.
T, where were you?
Well, I was just finishing up church service online. Had a wonderful service, and then
my mom actually texts in our family group chat that we have, texts us the news, and then my brother goes, T, Kobe died. And I'm like, no, wait, Kobe? Because, you know, and everybody says Kobe, you're like, no, I only know one Kobe. Right. And then, you know, everybody's first reaction, they're going to pick up their phone, they're going to check Google, they're going to check Instagram to verify it. And then, just like Tam said, I just froze. I'm like speechless. It's like, kind of, I didn't mean how to say, but it's like, Kobe, like, it's unbelievable. It's like, Kobe can die. Like, that's really what it seemed like.
Yeah. You almost felt like he was not human.
Yeah,
like,
yes.
This couldn't happen to
him.
And I think Shaq said it best, too. Like, in the game of basketball, you know, you see all the older legends. You know, they're old. You know, you're joking with them. So you just, it's the furthest thing from your mind.
Man, and to think like that, I just froze. I had to stay off Instagram.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. I had to stay off Instagram. That, till this day, people are still posting and... It's
heartbreaking.
It is.
Obviously, Kobe broke our heart. His daughter and the other families. That
and
just,
you being a mom.
Being a mom. That made me sleepless. Like, literally. I was literally sleepless. And like they say, just hold your kids a little harder and cherish those moments. But it gave me nightmares just thinking about it and thinking about Vanessa as a mother.
She's so strong.
As a wife, that's hard, but as a mother, like, that's just like your babies. You just don't feel like they got to do. And she was a phenomenal basketball player. If you watch her where she was at as a 13-year-old,
Gianna.
Yes,
and it just hurts knowing that, like, baby girl's not gonna be able to experience college ball. She's not gonna be able to experience like a Drew League if she wanted to, and it just hurts,
you know? She already had the scholarship
she
to UConn.
Sure did.
I mean, that doesn't happen. 13-year-old with a scholarship to UConn?
Wow.
You know?
You guys have a unique perspective playing basketball as, like, you grew up with it your whole lives, right? So you were a Gigi, yeah?
Yes. And I really related, because, like, my dad was in, oh, my goodness, like, my dad in basketball, he was really on me, like, T, you got, like, T, what you doing? Let's be great, you know? And it's the whole girl dad, you know, I felt that, you know, just having my dad there. And every moment now, I really cherish it even more, you know?
Right, yeah, you think about that now when you see, you know, what Kobe and Gianna had and that you had something similar with your dad. What a blessing. Not every kid can say that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just seen so much of myself in Kobe's situation. I seen myself as a little Gianna. Obviously, Gianna was much better than I was at 13. I was not that good. I wasn't hitting fadeaways on girls. So, I just found so many pieces of me in their situation. Like I said, I related so much to Kobe. And you just think, like, this could be anybody. And it's frightening. Mm-hmm. It's frightening.
So that day, obviously everybody was so emotional. Talk about that week. Did you talk with friends? Did you call anybody special?
It's like whenever I was around somebody, like, all I had to do was give them that look, and they'd be like, I know, I can't believe he's gone. Like, it was on everybody's minds, literally.
But I think, too, because you all are in basketball, I would think people would gravitate you to want to get your thoughts and your perspective and opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I had a few people reach out to me to talk about it, and I just wasn't ready. Mm. I couldn't digest all of my emotions and feelings. I talked closely to my friends who are basketball players who play professionally as well, and it was hard. The basketball world was really shook. I'm actually, right now, I'm in talks with, there's a professional player, NBA player that played around the time of Kobe, who has his own production company. And we're working on a project together that I'm producing. And it was literally like everything came to a halt. Like, business stopped. Nobody, like, they're like, we can't think right now.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, for those of you that are in that basketball world, I mean, my connection with Kobe is I do the Wednesday's Child segment here at Fox 11 with kids in foster care. So when we work with the Lakers, they would have us out to practice, and they would bring Kobe over. I mean, for a kid, right? How cool is that to be a Laker practice?
Like, right?
Yeah. And, you know, I didn't want to really, like, ask him for a lot. Basically, they'd bring him over. It was kind of, you know, say hello, sign an autograph, take a picture. And he was always so great with the kids. So, Coach T, you actually knew Kobe.
Yes. Well, I mean, that, you know, being blessed with that opportunity to be at his camp.
The Mamba Academy?
Yes, it was amazing. It was his her game her time to play, excuse me, it was her time to play. And Kobe was just so big when it came to being a platform for the ladies' side, you know, yeah. for the girls' side.
I know, that legacy,
it was him
right?
to do it. His daughter loved the game, yeah. and who else would help mm-hmm. make the girls' platform big but the man himself, Kobe, you know?
That had to do a lot for women's sports.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Mm. Prior to him passing, I think a couple weeks prior, he came out and said that mm-hmm. there are women basketball players that can play in the NBA right now.
Yep.
And we have never had a male basketball player take such a bold stance. I mean, mm-hmm. don't get me wrong, NBA guys give women their respect and their credit, but that was bold spoken. To say.
Right.
And
right.
and I agree with it, but to hear it come from Kobe was just like right on.
Wow. I think, too, what saddens me is that he was only 41 years old. What could he have done to advance women's basketball? I mean, what kind of legacy? I mean, he lived to, like, you know, 80, 90 years old. What could he have done to change the sport, uplift the sport?
So much
Who knows?
So,
right? Yeah, it's even...
He even had books.
Especially with where his daughter was going and the hand that he had in that. Who knows? I mean, we may have had a co-ed NBA.
Man.
Hey. Yeah. So anyway, Coach T, and where do you coach right now?
I coach at Martin Luther King High School in Riverside.
Oh. You're working with the kids yourself.
Yes. I love
Very
it.
Very nice.
I love it.
Okay. So the Mamba Academy, Kobe was there for that when you were there?
Yes. He was there. Actually, I want to show you the picture. It's funny.
We have a picture.
Yes.
Again, podcast, you'll have to envision this. We have a framed.
We're gifting you all.
We get a gift?
Yes, this is you all.
We get a gift? Well, tell me what it is.
It's framed mosaic. You know, my mom, she's crafty in that brain of hers, but it's about hundreds of individual itty-bitty photos of literally
yes.
him, his daughter, the family, and it comes together to make a big picture.
Okay, and
him.
Mom's right here.
Yes.
Mom, you made this? Oh, my gosh. What's it made out of? You want to jump on, Mom? You can grab that mic if you want to tell us what it is.
It's actually our signature mosaic. And what we've done is we've gathered photographs of Kobe's most accomplishments as his family, his daughters. When he got the award for his book. Actually, one of the pictures is when Tara did the camp, Mamba camp with them. But all of the different photos are of Kobe and something to do directly connected. And then the last picture we got was when he pointed up and said, "Farewell, Mamba."
Oh, my gosh. Wow. So are you an artist?
No. It's just a vision that something that we've been doing in a business that we own.
What's it called?
Parties Out of Sight.
Well, that picture is out of sight.
Thank
wow.
you. Thank you so much.
And we've covered a lot of artists. I've done a graffiti artist. I've done a painter. I've done a sketch artist. That's really, really unique. I mean, if people could see, they're like, it's about the size of a stamp, right? And it's, oh my gosh. Wow. So the little pictures about the size of a stamp, all making a big, big picture. Yeah, right. Which one is that one?
The picture of all of us gathered. We took a picture.
Group shot. And then you see Kobe. Wow, this. I'm gonna take
That's
a picture
amazing.
Of this. I will post this on my Instagram. Everybody, you can see this. Wow, this is really special. So I don't even know the question I was asking. Where was I on that? Oh, you meeting Kobe? Kobe being at the camp.
Yes. I mean, just he was going over, you know, just drills. He was like shadowing me as he was watching over his camp, and he told me one thing. He's like, make sure the girls are low. And I was like, got you, Kobe. And then I'm like, just that, I was like, oh my goodness, I just talked to Kobe.
Okay, now wait, because you all have traveled the world
yes.
a little bit.
Yes. Yes.
You have met enough famous people in your lifetime to, you know, not yes, be too in awe of famous people. But Kobe Bryant, would you be in awe? Yes.
Yes. I mean, I had Kobe breath breathing down my neck.
He was that close to you?
Yes.
Wow.
So, you know, it was just amazing, you know, having a GOAT behind you, you know,
yeah.
greatest of all time.
Yep.
Somebody who, you know, just spoke volume and had a lot of accomplishments, just, you know, also helping you out with the game, something that you love doing. So.
Wow. And Tammy, had you met him ever?
I have. I got to the point, like you say, we play around professional athletes and entertainers, so we meet them all the time.
And you're doing charity events.
Yes, yeah. We meet them all the time. So for me in this industry, I made it a point to say that I don't want to just take a picture and shake a hand. I want to work with them personally. Mm-hmm. I want us to connect, and I wanted to learn from Kobe. I want him to teach me. I want him to be like a mentor. So I developed this project. And Kobe was going to work alongside of me as a judge on the TV project that I'm doing. And I had his picture next to my picture on a one sheet to pitch. You know, you pitch stuff in entertainment. And it made me really sad because when this happened, I pulled up the one sheet. And I seen our pictures next to each other and realized that I had to have the graphic designer change it. Mm. So it broke my heart. But I wanted to personally work with him where we knew each other on a personal level.
Yeah. Man,
yeah.
I think that it's so special that you guys have your separate stories of things that you had done, that you were gonna do, that Kobe was really living a rich life.
He was.
And I think that's part of the grief that we just feel like for all 9 people on board that helicopter, for all of those lives to be lost
families.
And their families changed.
Families, right.
Yeah, yeah. And both of your moms came to the podcast. Did you talk with moms about what happened? Is this something you talk about
as family? I did. My mom was actually worried about me. I'm a pretty tough cookie, and not much bothers me or weighs on me, but she knew. I tried to act tough when I talked to her. Yeah, Mom, I'm okay. I hung up the phone from her. She called me back like 5 minutes. She said, Tammy, you're not okay. I said, I'm not. I said, I'm just praying right now. I'm not okay. But I said, I'll be okay because I know what Kobe will want from us moving forward.
Yeah,
I was about the same. My mom and my dad, they just knew I wasn't myself. Cause me, I'm just always energetic, like energy 24/7, and just that whole week, just you know, up until then, just ain't been myself. But I'm trying to be myself, trying to bounce back. You know, just knowing he up there, you know, playing ball with his daughter. So, you know, it's tough, but...
What about as a coach? Did your kids want to talk about it at school?
Yeah, and it's crazy. Our first game from when it happened, they're like, Coach T, can we hold the ball? Like they did in the NBA game where they held the ball, shot backcourt.
Shot clock and the backcourt.
Yes,
clock.
Yep, 8 and 24, you know, they held the ball, so we did the same. A lot of high schools were doing the same. We did it, and then the other team did it right when they did tip ball, you know, just to recognize Kobe.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So I'm wondering, as you guys have watched, if you watch any of the news coverage or you've seen the postings on social media, are you surprised at all by the public's response? Because it's been tremendous.
I'm not. Like, I knew the impact that Kobe had, what he did. And here's the thing. Like, I know him as a player. He was a great player. The problem with being a great player is that not everybody likes you because they think you're cocky or arrogant, but they don't understand. In order to be great, you have to be cocky and arrogant because you can't go out there and play like that if you have any bit of self-doubt. So there were some people that wasn't crazy about him as a player because of the arrogance, but one thing you had to fall in love with him, even if you weren't crazy about him as a player, was him as a father.
Right.
As a father. And then to take it a step further is, you know, when he got the Oscar, like, you just jumped to something completely different that you've never done.
Wait a minute. Oscar?
They get an Oscar, right? But honestly, it didn't surprise me because one thing I had understood, like, I would literally, like, I watched Kobe. I watched all his interviews, everything. I understood that he had a mindset of greatness, and no matter what he did, he was going to be great at it, you know? Doesn't matter what he chose to do. He was going to be far above most people at it.
You know, I would say I'm a casual sports fan, okay? And I'm a community supporter. But just to see Kobe with his daughter, I hadn't really witnessed that, maybe paid attention to it, until we're starting to see all the videos. Like, even now on Instagram, when I look, you know, you do the search thing, they pop up somebody else's new clip that shows Kobe with his daughter. Man, I wish my father was like that.
You know, right.
I didn't have that with my father like that.
Right.
But it was super sweet. That, I mean, the way they would look at each other was just so endearing.
It was.
He was so dedicated with her. Like, any clip, you would see him, like, you would see both of them, like, into the game, him pointing out.
Him pointing into her.
Yeah, I know.
You could tell.
Him pointing out, like, NBA games, showing where she needs to be on the court, how she can improve her game. Like, he was really dedicated to her. Like, really committed to his daughter, you know, and that was just, that just spoke a lot of value.
Yeah, and even, I mean, the whole reason he started taking helicopters in general was because he wanted to be with his family.
Yep.
You lose a lot of time as an athlete.
Yes.
And yeah. he didn't want to miss time, so the helicopter was the fast route.
He had his whole Mamba facility, then he had to be here for coach, for practice with his daughter.
Completely and... across town.
Yes. And yeah. LA traffic, that is not cool. Mm-mm.
Well, it's funny because I've had a few chances to encounter Kobe, and my niece played a soccer championship. She's actually in Oakland.
Hey.
Played a soccer championship in Lancaster, Palmdale. Well, his daughter also had played the next game. And so then we were at an event that night in Newport where he was speaking before some entrepreneurs and I was emceeing and I'm like, oh, you were at the game too? I was at the game too. But he took the helicopter there back and forth where I had to drive from there to Newport. I'm like, man. But yeah, so he was like just a regular with the helicopter. That was his transportation.
Yep.
And he even talked to as a whole interview about, you know, why he did that switch to helicopters.
Yeah, and it was because of his family.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Did a whole interview.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know, you guys. What else do you want to talk about with basketball? You tell me. Teach me about your business. Teach me about your careers.
Well, I mean, like I said, I'm producing TV. I'm acting, so I have a cool movie, and it's really sad to me because literally, like, when I was shooting the film, all I thought about was I can't wait for Kobe to see this.
Oh, and it's about girls' basketball.
It is about girls' basketball. Yes.
What's it called?
She Ball.
With Nick Cannon.
With Nick Cannon, Chris Brown, DC Young Fly, Lunel, Cedric the Entertainer, the
Melody Ray.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great cast.
So what's the status of the movie?
It's in the Pan-African Film Festival that will display for its first screening Friday.
Wow.
This Friday.
And you know, Shaq also has a film that he produced, I think, in the Pan-African Film Festival.
I did not know that.
I think it's called Foster Boy. It's on foster care.
Okay.
Yeah, because I'm trying to get an interview with them.
Okay. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, that film festival is representing, isn't it?
It is. It really is. It has a lot of good projects in it, so I'm looking forward to it. It really puts on for the female basketball culture, has a good storyline in it, and, man, I can't help but think that Kobe would just smile on that film to see the women basketball players in there.
I bet Gigi would want to see it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Wait, is it for kids?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, you know what? I think it's for kids. I haven't seen the edit, so.
Yeah.
But I think it's for kids.
And you're in the movie?
I am. I play a character called Fly. I'm a controversial character because I'm popping off. I'm not really like that in real life. So if you guys see it, I'm
much more
humble. It's called
acting.
There we go. I'm much more humble, but I'm kind of like the cocky, arrogant, like, yeah, what's up? You don't want this.
All right, Coach T, what you working on?
So right now, you know, just finishing up high school ball for me with my girls. I was on the, you know, the junior varsity side, getting ready for the varsity. But we just finished our season. We did really good.
What do you do off season?
Off season, I have a photo booth business. I have a photo booth, you know, family photo booth business, and
really?
I also have a fitness and skills development business.
Entrepreneur,
you know, no excuse, just produce. You know, so just coaching and. You know, working that family business and loving it and stay happy, enjoying life. Like Kobe said, that's basically me.
Did you all see Dear Basketball, that documentary that won the Oscar?
I actually didn't get a chance to watch it. I didn't.
Yeah. You have to now.
I have to.
Right.
Yeah. So I want to now, but it's so hard. It's so hard for me to do anything.
I know.
Yeah. Like, I'm not a crier, and I hate when I have to cry.
No, and I also got at the camp, you know, you got all received one of his books. I forget what series it is. It's in a red copy, but we received that book. And, you know, I always kept it up. But then, you know, after that tragedy, I, you know, whipped it out and started reading it. And it's amazing. Like Kobe just, you know, he really wanted to be an author. He really was an author. You know, had these books out, and that's just amazing for you to just go from greatest in basketball to just switching it up.
It's almost not fair.
It's
almost not fair. That's too many blessings on one
person. Who does that? But that was the mindset that he had.
I'm saying, that mindset.
And yeah, I have a question.
Yeah.
What was one of your favorite Kobe moments of his career?
Him basically, you know, it's not game related. What kind of game? Him just focusing on one move, perfecting it before moving on. Like he pretty much on the sideline said, "Hey, I want you to toss the ball out, and I'm gonna practice saving it."
So he literally practiced saving the ball. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow, like this man just, it wasn't just, okay, I'm going to go through the motions. One move he tried to get, he wasn't moving until he perfected it.
He was a scientist.
Oh my goodness.
He really was.
Like Mom, the mama mentality, is that something that you all really thought about much? And I mean, now we're hearing it and people are wanting to study it and know more about it.
Like, people can't just throw it back and forth now, like, unless you really
know. You got to really have it. You got to really have it because it's for yes. real. When yes. you have the mom, he was relentless in all of his efforts. And it's only a few guys that have that in the league. Yep. Like, you see, like, Westbrook is one mm-hmm. of them. You know, everybody can't. You either got that or you don't, and it can't be taught. It's serious. Like, when people say Mamba mentality, I'm looking at you like, you better show me something.
Right.
Yeah. That
is so what was true. Your favorite moment, Tammy, about his – give me a career highlight that you loved.
Kobe has so many. I mean, obviously the 81-point game. That's so hard to do in today's era because teams are stacked with guys that could score. So that and I don't know why when he was number 8, when he dunked on Kevin Garnett, and it was just wild the way he did. First of all, Kevin Garnett at the time was like one of the top defenders, and he came baseline from one side of the rim and dunked on the other side. Like, he took off from this side of the rim, and we seen Jordan do it with the up and under layup, but this wasn't a layup. He jumped from this side and then dunked from the other side, and that's like, if you know anything about dunking or basketball, to do that in game is crazy.
Okay.
In game.
You're talking a little deep for me. Obviously. Okay, okay. Let me ask you about LeBron James when he had to play that basketball game after giving that speech. It was the first game back for the Lakers because they canceled the first game after the helicopter crash, and then they played that Friday. So how would it be, do you think, to have to go up and speak about this before all the fans? I mean, you're representing. You're stepping up now.
Well, I had the pleasure of working with LeBron on a project that I'll talk about soon. So I know him a little bit personally, and he's a class act. And just knowing him, that was probably one of the toughest things that he had to do because he is also a father. And he's stepping in to some big shoes, coming behind Kobe, playing as a Laker. So there's a lot. I felt like he felt the burden to carry the torch and to be strong, to hold everybody's feelings together.
Right.
How do you then go play a basketball game?
Oh, man. That's,
I don't know.
That's tough. He took a page of Kobe's. You know, you had to have that mentality.
To keep going.
Exactly. To keep going. Because it would have been easy to be like, man, I just can't play, you know. But he knows Kobe would have wanted him to play, go out and play that game.
A few players in the NBA actually set out. I believe, I don't want to say Kyrie Irving set out.
I know they didn't.
There was a few NBA players that just couldn't proceed.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever lost anybody that was super close to you?
No, I thank the Lord. I haven't.
I mean, I lost my grandma when I was younger, but I mean, she was 80-something years old, so it's an easier pill to swallow because she lived out everything that she could have. You just felt like Kobe was just getting started in his next chapter.
For sure. See, you guys are a little bit younger than me, so I remember when some of those raw chapters hit me. My father died in an accident, scuba diving, so it was one of those shocking things too. You're like, wait a minute. But it is a game changer in life when you have something just so shocking and where you lose somebody that you think is going to be there forever, who goes too soon, who goes too young. So for you all, I guess this is kind of a taste of real life.
Yeah.
It really feels like we lost a family member.
It does.
It really feels like we knew Kobe just on that level. Like, hey.
Yeah, like I talked to him every day, hung out with him every day. That's how I felt.
Yeah. Really?
Yes. I felt that way.
Yes.
I related to him so much.
And what a guy to have a career 20 years with the same team. Wow.
Right. We don't see that anymore.
Yeah.
We don't see that anymore. He was something special and then accomplished what he accomplished. Five rings.
And then that one we all know about when he tore his Achilles and still shot them free throws.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
That's a big moment. I'd love to hear your perspective on that.
Who does that? That's my perspective. Hey, come get me a stretcher. I'm out of here.
But Mama.
He, But that just speaks so much volume to him. To me, one thing that's a play that spoke volume to me, and I just, at that point, like at this point when I seen this play, I said, Kobe's not human. It was the inbound play where Matt Barnes has the ball. He goes like Kobe's guarding the inbound in front
straight
of
face.
Matt Barnes. Straight face.
Straight face.
Matt Barnes, literally right in his face, takes the ball like he's going to throw it in. And Kobe's like this. Don't blink. No flinch. No blink. Staring him straight in the eye. Like,
I'll have to look up the play.
It's amazing. It's like, who are you?
How about his final game? That final night. Right. That was something, right?
Was it magic? Shaq, who said, I need you to score so-and-so.
Yeah, 50 points, and he went out and scored 60-something. And I just remember watching that game just in amazement. And even the way he ended, we haven't seen an NBA player get so much love on their retirement year. Every arena he went to, so much respect, so much love from competitors who he's destroyed.
Like, has he ever gotten booed before? Like, I'm like, man.
Well, I'm sure that's happened.
There might have been a chapter.
Yeah.
But we're gonna celebrate, Kobe. Yeah. That farewell tour year was really something.
Really something. To and have that kind of honor and respect going out is...
And that speech that he gave to the audience and to the crowd, the fans, and to see... You know, I love... Here's the visual I have. He was playing that game where he was scoring all those points, and he looked over at Vanessa and kind of gave a wink, and she had this big smile on her face. I love that moment. Can
Me
you
too.
Imagine sharing that with somebody?
Oh,
you love?
My goodness.
That's the video being shared around on Instagram, that video.
Yeah.
He looks.
Is there another moment that you're seeing that's been shared around that you're like, oh, yeah, that?
I see a lot with his daughter.
Yes,
that are being
the
moment
his daughter, he has that orange little blazer.
Yep.
And then the one where LeBron goes over to speak.
Yes. Yep. And then when they're sitting at the game, and you could tell he's just giving her all the game. And I'm like, I want that free game, Kobe. He's just giving her all the game.
Well, you guys got some really good memories, good perspective here.
Yeah. For sure.
So Los Angeles, how do we grieve this? How do we move beyond this?
Gotta be great, man. You like no excuses. Like no excuses. You gotta have the mentality. Don't just say it. You gotta be about it. If you don't know about it, you better look up about it.
Do you think it changes the way you coach?
Oh, definitely.
Really? How
so? Oh, definitely. You know, in a positive way. I let them know like look, guys, it's not gonna be easy. You know, you gotta go get it. If this is what you really want, you gotta have heart. You know, and you know, of course, I relay back to Kobe, and they're not too old to where they don't know who he is. They still know, but. A lot of it, you know, it relates back to Kobe. You got to have the mentality. You know, I use, you know, some of my accolades, you know, to let them know, too, that it's real. You got to have that mindset.
Mm-hmm. For me, I just want to make sure that the people that I touch and come in contact with, I give them the same feeling that Kobe gave me, which was to be great, to do the unthinkable, you know, to do what people say that you can't do and dare to dream. So that's what I try to instill in people. I talk crazy. I say... I can do anything. I can do this. I can do that. And I want people to believe that they can do the same thing.
So Kobe has three surviving daughters. Two of them are very young. I'm going to pretend that they're going to listen to this podcast series one day just to learn about their father. And, of course, the 17-year-old. What would you want to say to his daughters about their father? If you could say, this is who your dad was, what would you say? Coach T?
I would say, you know, your dad, your pops. I'll say your pops was an amazing man. Like he's remembered by billions, trillions of people, you know, and just words don't do enough. Words don't do enough, and it was just an honor to meet him. It was an honor to, you know, just meet him through what I love, the game of basketball, and you know, other life lessons that he left with, you know, just be happy. And that's what I think life's about. You need to be happy. Just do it, you know.
Tammy?
I would tell them that their father did an incredible work down here on this earth. He changed the world. He changed the game. And he showed us how to be passionate about something. But as passionate as he was about basketball, he was way more passionate about them as his children.
Beautifully said. All right, this is the podcast, Voices of the People, Kobe Bryant Remembered. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
We leave you with the song Wings as we take a moment to honor all nine on board that helicopter that crashed in Calabasas, California, on January 26, 2020, on the way to Kobe Bryant's Mamba Academy. Those names are John, Alyssa, and Carrie Altobelli, Sarah and Peyton Chester, Christina Mauser, Era Zobayan, Kobe Bryant, and his daughter Gianna. Anyone wishing to donate to funds set up for the families can donate to MambaOn3.org. Wings is by singer Tim Johnson Jr. We'll hear his story on another episode of this podcast series, Voices of the People, Kobe Bryant Remembered. You give me wings to fly.